Right back at it. Fesco and Dusty with Nathan as well. Mac will be back on Monday for those that have asked on the text line, I promise. Everything is fine. Sometimes life comes up.
But sometimes life comes at you fast.
That's true. Just ask.
Forrest. Ferris.
I hope not Forrest. But no, Chiefs Bengals on Sunday at 3:25. Get all your action here at 96.5 The Fan. We love to do this where we get to try to figure out the script for the game on Sunday. This is kind of your thing, so I'll let you lean into it. Then I'll give you my script as well.
Yeah, I want to hear everybody's script for the game as well. You guys can weigh in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line at 913-586-something. And feel free to do that as well. Do we have a little music and open or something for this? Because it's hard to give a script without a movie. What am I looking for? Like an orchestra, right?
Here's
what's going to happen. Here's what's in the script this weekend. Other than Pittsburgh and Denver, the Chiefs game is the only CBS late game. Have you seen the coverage map this week? The entire country is red except for two stripes of blue in Denver and in Pittsburgh. That's it. The entire country is getting this game.
So who's on the call, Bob?
It is Tony Romo and Jim Nantz. Look out! So they're on the call this weekend. It's a national audience game. So they're going to want to keep this thing close early. That's how the NFL works. They don't want you tuning away. And Morley Safer wants you watching 60 minutes when it's all said and done. So get ready for that. Here's what's going to happen. The first Bengals drive will be very good and will end with a touchdown. Chiefs will play angry and they'll get Worthy involved early and they'll get him involved often. You can kind of see that taking shape right now. Cam Taylor-Britt talking smack that Worthy only runs fast straight ahead. He doesn't do much else. You can start to sense what's going to be on display on Sunday afternoon. Xavier Worthy early and often. Cincinnati will be within a score at halftime, but the Chiefs, as they always do, will receive the kickoff, and their first drive at the end of halftime will end in a touchdown. Chris Jones will get a late, and that will open a two-possession lead for the Chiefs at that point in time. Chris Jones will get a late-game sack. Trent McDuffie gets his first interception of the season because he will be basically shutting down Ja'Marr Chase all game long. Frustration will set in. A ball will be underthrown with the limp wrist of Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, and Trent McDuffie will pick it off and seal the game. The Chiefs will go on to win this thing 31-17.
So maybe I've been around you too long, which is not a bad thing. I hope I'm around you for another 14 years. I think when you look at the script, it's very similar to yours, as is mine. I think the Chiefs sacked Joe Burrow 5 times. I said from the beginning of this week, and I'll explain every nugget. I said from the beginning of this week, my two players that I'm watching are Karlaftis and Chris Jones. Another guy that's going to be great this week is Isaiah Pacheco. I think he runs for 90-plus.
Okay.
I don't think Joe Burrow finishes this game.
Oh, I like that.
I think five sacks.
They bench him early, huh?
No, I think five sacks and a little bit of pressure on him and that wrist not being fully healthy. And Joe Burrow in a big game against Kansas City Chiefs used to be big. I don't think he finishes this game. I think Chase gets a big penalty late in the game, whether it's a taunting penalty, whether it is a flagrant foul, like they call in basketball, where it's, you know, a personal foul against Ja'Marr Chase, whether it's shoving, whether it's, you know, some sort of frustration of a penalty that's going to happen. And I do think there's going to be a play. We haven't seen it yet. We've only seen 1 week of it where Xavier Worthy breaks out the top of the defense, catches one, whether it's against Britt or not. And I think the Chiefs will win 31-10. And what that script equals is that Cincinnati is no longer a threat in the AFC, let alone to the Chiefs. And it's over for the spaghetti chili Bengals.
Yeah, I think this is the weekend where we finally see it all come crashing down for Cincinnati. And it is imperative and important and really, really, really strongly suggested by me that the Chiefs do go out there and finish off the Bengals, because you don't want to give this team a little bit of life. You don't want to give this team the opportunity to think that they're still good, because they're not. They're a done team. And I know there's going to be a narrative of the national media wanting to push Cincinnati because people like Joe Burrow and they've been around for the last couple of years and it's familiar and it's comfortable and it's nice. But teams in the NFL have a shelf life, and I think we're seeing the Bengals' shelf life expire right before our eyes. I think we're seeing Miami's shelf life expire right before our eyes, and I think we're seeing two teams that were in the playoffs a year ago not make the playoffs this year in Cincinnati and in Miami. And I know Cincinnati was not a playoff team last year, but they've been a perennial playoff team for the last 3 or 4 years,
right,
with Joe Burrow around. So I see two teams that we've counted on, and I say always in this, you know, current era of the NFL, we know everything's immediate now in life. Miami and Cincinnati, I think after week two, we'll be looking at both of those teams going, okay, I think they're done. Who are going to be the teams that replace them? Is it going to be Pittsburgh? Is it going to be Houston? Is it going to be Indianapolis? Who are those teams that are going to replace Cincinnati and Miami in that 17 playoff field?
Nathan, you got anything you want to add to a script or anything that we said that maybe you don't agree upon or maybe you want to add to it?
I think maybe just the final score is what we don't agree upon, and I think we get there this week. Cincinnati does have a little bit of success early, similar to Bob.
Of course,
but I
yeah.
think we see a steady dose of both running backs from Kansas City's offense throughout the day. I think they pull ahead, and I think this is one of those vintage Mahomes to Kelce on third down breaks the back of the opponent day. Late in the game, Dusty, I agree with you
so
here.
So you think it's going to be close?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, sort of. I think we see maybe a garbage time score to bring it back close.
Gotcha.
And I think I agree with Dusty on the fact of I think there's some chippiness late in the game. I think Cincinnati's looking at this going, we're going to go 3 years without beating this team after talking all this smack.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs players are going to say, as much as they won't tell you this, these first 2 weeks were huge in terms of AFC tiebreakers. We're about to advance to 2-0, and you see a little bit of chirping, a little bit of talking.
Let me jump in real fast. You mentioned that, and the immediate thought I had is a cheap shot on Mahomes on the sidelines, like we saw in the AFC Championship game. Like, if that happens this week, there may be an all-out brawl at Arrowhead. Talking about people will come out of the crowd and beat the crap out of the Bengals.
Oh, God.
Like Peyton Hendershot?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, right.
Late
yeah.
in the game?
Yeah.
I think a garbage time score makes it look closer than it was, and I've got 26-20.
26-20, Kansas City. All right.
I don't know if I'd see this team giving up 20 points in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad as long as it's a win, but
yeah.
I just think that all that sort of stuff, I think this has probably been the easiest script to kind of put together, because when you play teams like this that don't really have, or maybe they know, they're not as good as you are,
mm-hmm.
and you know what kind of, you know, players they have on their side. The Jamar Chase thing seems odd to cause an annoyance to you, because I looked up, you know, in the past what he's done against Jamar Chase, and as a rookie, Jamar Chase and Trent McDuffie matched up 3 targets is what he had, 1 catch, 8 yards, and his quarterback had a 42.4 passer rating allowed. Last week, we heard Jamar Chase in the locker room. Well, you got to ask Zach. That was on the coaches and the plays. I wouldn't, you know, now you're going to have your quarterback who's going to have a ton of pressure from the Chiefs defensive line with Wharton and Felix and Duke Uzama, Chris Jones, Carl Loftus. You got Leo Chenal running around like a madman. Drew Tranquil, he's a great spy in the middle of that field. And Nick Bolton's going to be playing with a bunch of revenge because he knows what was been talking about him in the
yeah,
first game.
Yeah.
He's
Nick got some, Bolton's like really the only one who didn't have right. a good game in week one, right?
We haven't talked about Nick Bolton.
Right.
I mean, made probably the biggest play of everybody in the game with that, you know, knock out of the end zone to Isaiah Likely.
Right.
But it goes, you know, a little shadow with the way he performed against Isaiah Likely throughout the game. But again, you look at this defense, you look at what this team has to do. There's so much pressure on Cincinnati to win this game, whether you want to roll your eyes or not. I'm sure Nixon's driving up here, getting ready to join the round table at 9, thinking to himself, going, come on, guys, don't put that much. It is, though. Like, Cincinnati loses this game, that's 3 straight
to Kansas
City.
This is a season-saving type of game for the Bengals, man. Like, it can go one way or the other with Cincinnati this week.
Not only that, but it makes you stay relevant in the AFC. And if you can do one thing, which not a lot of people can do, it's you got to beat Kansas City in Kansas City. And if you do that, then all of a sudden we have a different conversation on Monday. Both teams are 1-1. Buffalo's 2-0. Baltimore's probably 1-1, and you're looking up at the division again. But if you win this game, you then have tiebreakers over Cincinnati, Baltimore, like Nathan said. And then when you get to play Buffalo later on the season, and Buffalo has their Super Bowl, hopefully you can kill their dreams too.
Yeah.
But I like what a text said earlier. They said, last year we had the chance to take the head off the monster at Buffalo, lost that game because of your boy Kadarius Toney was offsides.
Yeah, right.
But this is a game where Cincinnati's life, if you're looking at it from like a Mortal Kombat stance, they are one big knock away from being to where the point where you can say, finish him.
Yeah, right.
And that's what you need. You need a scorpion harpoon, bring him over, uppercut their head off and stand over the dead body that is the Cincinnati Bengals of what used to be, which is now this. It's no longer a relevant team against you in the AFC.
I just hope the Cincinnati doesn't go out there and try to cheap shot and hurt somebody. And that is a fear that I have, because we have seen it before. I mean, we just go back to that AFC championship game.
Well, if
game,
that happens,
so,
Mitch is going to jump out of the booth with his Roman candles.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of people, and I'm talking fan-wise, going into that game very tense, looking for something to happen. Like, I think the fans are going to be ready. The crowd's going to be ready. I know I'm going to be ready, you know, for this one. And you know, I hope Cincinnati isn't playing with that mindset of, well, we can't beat them, so let's go out there right, and try to mess them up. Because they are, they've always been kind of that dirty team, right? Like, I'm not looking forward to these guys coming in here, falling behind big early, and then trying to see what they can do from a cheap shot perspective. So that better not happen on Sunday. Otherwise, we're going to have some problems on our hand. We may go to Cincinnati if they start cheap shotting our quarterback.
Coming up on the next segment, we get into what is our cover two for Sunday, and it is your local matchup, Cincinnati and Kansas City. I'm Dusty. That's Bob. That's Nathan as well. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Little Elton John this morning. Way to go. Little Sing 2. I like Sing. That was a good movie. Did you see Sing, Dusty?
Negative.
You wouldn't. I would hope not. Nope. You don't have kids. Like, you're rolling to that movie. Man, maybe you take a date to that movie.
I watched Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory with Timothée Chalamet for about 15 minutes and realized it was a musical.
And you don't like musicals?
I do, but I thought it was going to be like I guess the original Willy Wonka was kind of a musical, but this one was over the top. It's like the new Joker movie coming out. It's a musical.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn and Joaquin Phoenix, obviously the Joker, and it's like basically just the entire movie is like a score.
Well, I feel bad for you then, because you got stuck in that text thread with Mac and I last weekend talking about our favorite musicals. Crickets from Dusty. Mac, like, oh, I like this one and that one and the other one, and like, yeah, all right. Mac's like, I didn't know you were a musical guy. I'm like, I didn't know you were either. Oh my God, did we just become best friends? And Dusty's like, I hate musicals.
I did like Sweeney Todd, Meat Pies. Want to get into the cover two in a second, but I do want to bring up kind of what I was just talking to with Cody and Gold in the bullpen, because we'll have Drew Nixon on the round table.
That's right.
Do you think that Ja'Marr Chase truly believes what he's saying? Like, and we'll play the audio after we get into the cover two, but yeah. Do you believe that Cincinnati and Ja'Marr Chase, like, because really, like, he's like their only guy. And Cody said he's like the guy in your friend group that, like, keeps, like, whether it be like politics or sport takes or whatever, he's the guy that everybody agrees is just like, hey man, like, just stop.
Right.
Like, just
like kind of your
right.
crazy uncle.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you haven't been right. This is year three. Why don't you just, like, prove us that you can live up to your expectations? And I feel like that is Ja'Marr Chase. Like, do you think he realized that, or do you think that he feels like he has to, like, warrant this sort of role?
I don't think I think he's embracing the heel role, but he's not very good at embracing the heel role. You know, like we kind of talked about with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Like, Angel Reese didn't do a good job of being the heel, right? She wasn't a likable heel. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is a likable heel either. Sometimes you look at the heel, you're like, I really like that guy and he's doing it the right way. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is doing it the right way. He comes across as a guy who's just very bitter about everything right now. And I was kind of doing some reading about his contract situation, and I actually support the team in this one, because Ja'Marr Chase hasn't had a contract because he hasn't wanted to sign a contract. The Bengals made him an offer to make him the highest paid receiver in the NFL, but he didn't like the way that the guarantees were structured. The Bengals wanted to pay it over the course of like 2 or 3 years. He wanted it all up front, so he rejected the offer. It sounds to me like Ja'Marr Chase is in a situation that he doesn't really want to be in, doesn't know how to get out of that situation, so he's just going to go out there and be a malcontent. That's where he kind of strikes me right now. Does he believe what he's saying? Probably not, but he's gotten so far down the line of being this guy, he's just going to continue to say that, and his bitterness about not getting that contract done is really permeating, and I think really affecting the rest of the team right now.
All right, let's get into the cover two. Cover two, you can chime in as well, 913-586-7965. Last week, our cover two was what we were going to watch around the league. This week, it comes with this gigantic matchup at 325. with the Chiefs and the Bengals. Bob, kick us off with what your cover two is this weekend.
All right, this weekend, my cover two, two simple people. I'm going to look at Trent McDuffie on defense. I think he's going to have himself an afternoon. I think this is going to be the breakout game that everybody's been waiting for with Trent McDuffie. And when I say breakout game, I mean he gets his first interception of the game. But more importantly, he's going to be matched up against Ja'Marr Chase. He's their best wide receiver. Trent McDuffie's our best defensive back, one of the best in the NFL. I think that's going to be a fun matchup, and I think we're really going to know how dominant Trent McDuffie was when you look at the box score at the end of the game, and it's Ja'Marr Chase, two catches, 19 yards, no touchdowns, and he has an interception. The other guy I'm going to watch, I really got excited by Rashee Rice last week in that game. I know Xavier Worthy was the big story and everything like that, but if you didn't get excited and wowed by watching Rashee Rice run those slant routes, I don't know what it's going to take, man, because that was like watching just poetic justice take place right there out on the field with that slant pass and boom, and that slant pass, boom, that slant pass, boom, and hitting him in stride and just letting Rashee Rice run with the football. He looks fast. He looks just absolutely electric. I'm excited to watch him on the offensive side. So that's kind of my cover too. Trent McDuffie on the defensive side this week, Rashee Rice on the offensive side.
Do you know what Rashee Rice's new nickname is? Mr. Yak. Just saying. Yards after catch. Mm-hmm. Nathan, what's your cover two this week? And my man, as you're filling in for Mac, thank you once again for doing your work.
Thanks for having me. I am looking at the cornerback two, I guess you'd call it. There's no reason for any of these Bengals receivers to have a big week. McDuffie's going to be on Chase. Higgins is not going to be a factor. No one else in the Bengals receiver room should scare you. Jalen
Watson, yes!
Got the most run last week, but you've also got Williams and Connor that need to step up. I'm looking for that secondary to put the clamps on those Bengals receivers.
Justin Reed going to blow up this week, too?
Yeah, Mike Gesicki, you better watch out. Mm. And then I'm looking at, because of that, I think Burrow's going to have to utilize that underneath game a lot with the running back, short passes to tight ends, and because of that wrist. Look, at the end of the game last week, if Likely's toe is in bounds, that two-point play, I think we all know it was a showdown between Lamar Jackson and Leo Chenault, right? That's what it was going to come down to.
Oh, see, a lot of people have said they just expected Derrick Henry to get the ball go
no
up the
way.
Middle.
No yeah. way. I think Lamar Jackson's taking that. And I'm looking at Chenault and Tranquil in that underneath game as well.
Dusty, what do you got?
Yeah, my cover two is what it's been all week. Well, maybe not all week, but it's been sort of that sort of situation. My cover two is George Karlaftis, number one. I want to see George Karlaftis count on his hand again how many times they've sacked Joe Burrow. I said in the script last segment that there could be at least five sacks, and Joe Burrow may not finish this game due to all the pressure he is taking in and this game being out of reach. Get him off the field, keep him healthy for the long haul of the season. I'm really interested to see what they do, how they match up with Chris Jones. I know Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be on that offensive line. Who? See if Chris Jones goes over there and tries to, you know, push the guy back and really get him frustrated and then let Leo Chenault just be one-on-one all game. Give me Leo Chenault having a lot of sacks in this game. I say a lot, I mean 2.5 to 2 sacks for George Karlaftis. The other guy that I'm interested in, but nobody said, and I know this might sound easy to lay up on, I'm looking at Travis Kelce.
Oh, you think he needs to step it up?
No, not at all. I'm interested to see how he's used in this game because...
You're interested to see how they use him after Taylor said it's her boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. No, I think this is interesting because last week I think he only had 4 receptions. I could be wrong. I think he had 4, but...
It's like 4 for 32.
They didn't need him last week. And this is a game where I'm interested to see how they use Travis Kelce once again. I know 1 week is not a sample size to use in the NFL when it comes to statistics or, you know, games that show the most. But
you haven't watched ESPN then. Because after 1 week, they've got, you know, all it figured out.
But I think that there is some interest to look at when I look to Travis Kelce in this game. Now, he had a huge catch down the field that set the record for Patrick Mahomes over Lynn Dawson. But this is a game like where, is this going to be one of those Travis Kelce games where it's heavy first half action, where it's, you know, 6 targets, 6 catches, 88 yards and a touchdown in the first half, and it's like, okay, we're going to stop Travis Kelce. Well, then that's going to open up everybody else. Or are they not going to let Mr. Yak, Rashee Rice, go nuts, and they're going to be like, you know what, we'll see if Travis Kelce still has it, and it's a middle finger to their sideline. But I'm really interested to see George Karlaftis show his presence on the defensive line, really allow some pressure, who had 6 in week 1 against the Baltimore Ravens. Not a great offensive line. Cincinnati, also not the best offensive line. And George Karlaftis is an up-and-coming edge rusher that I think could really make his case be known in this game against Cincinnati. And then Travis Kelce, the vet, the guy that everybody says getting older, the guy that they says is distracted. They just didn't need him in week one. I'm interested to see how they use him or if they even need him in week two. And they're just kind of furloughing him till the end of the season where he can really ramp it up.
Well,
those are my cover twos, Karlaftis and Kelce, double Ks.
That's what's going to happen. I mean, Travis Kelce's going to have a season kind of like he did last year where when they need him, he steps up and he plays big. But more importantly, they're going to utilize him in the regular season. And then Carrington and Rob will tell us he's washed and he's no good. And then he'll have 400 yards in the Super Bowl. And George Kittle will have two. So I think, you know, they utilize Travis Kelce in the best way possible when they need Travis Kelce. It's all by design. I mean, like, people go into these games not understanding there is a script to these games and what they want to accomplish and what they want to do, what they want to try, what their goals are. And if any team wants to say, we're going to let Travis Kelce beat us in this game because we're going to take other players out of the game, mm-hmm. Well, then Travis Kelce is going to beat your ass in this game. I hate to break the news to Cincinnati. Like, if that's the guy that you're saying, okay, we're going to eliminate Worthy, we're going to eliminate Rice, we're going to make them beat us with Travis Kelce, then Travis Kelce is going to go out there and kick your ass. And Noah Gray may have something to do with that as well, you know, with the way he played in that opening game. And then you've got the running backs, you know. I mean, there's so many ways that this team can beat you right now. So I would love Cincinnati, Dusty, to say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to let Travis Kelce win this game. So let's see what you guys have on the text line as well, who your cover two is for this weekend. Some of the players you're going to be watching from the 913, P. Ryan and FAU. Mm. I feel like people are like, okay, they feel good about FAU now. He had a nice game in that opener after the redshirt season. I thought he played well, and I think everybody kind of fell in love with P. Ryan right away as well. I thought he had a pretty nice game in his first outing, you know, as a member of this Chiefs team, and he's going against his old squad in Cincinnati, so I'm sure he wants to get a little bit of revenge.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that option, and, you know, everything Travis Kelce touches turns to happiness and gold and whatever.
And I'd say cut, and we'd be done with that take. I would always just hear, like, someone, like cheering and, like, woo, like from across the studio where we were shooting it, and that one person was my boyfriend, Travis.
That's right. You love to see it.
I mean, you would have thought she passed out thousands of dollars to people with that applause.
She probably could.
It's just admitting that Travis was her boyfriend. People went nuts. It's great.
That's
that Arrowhead?
That's audio you love to hear. This is audio you hate to hear.
We are the team to be in the AFC, and we know it. And we got to act like it. And we got to play like it, too.
That's why I ask. Do you think he really believes that, or do you think he feels he has to say that because nobody else in that locker room will?
Well, nobody else in that locker room believes they are the best team in the AFC. I don't think anybody anywhere believes that the Bengals are the best team. I don't even think Drew Nixon will believe Cincinnati is the best team in the AFC.
At home.
Right. You lost at home to New England. Now, look, there have been teams that have had stinkers in their opener, and they've recovered nicely. But the Bengals have too much distraction and outside noise going on. It starts with the quarterback. He can't hold the water bottle. It goes to the wide receiver who's pissed about a contract and another wide receiver who's being accused of faking injuries. You don't have a running back anymore. Like, we've talked about this all week of what Cincinnati doesn't have and why they're not the best team anymore in the AFC. They never were the best team, really, in the AFC, except that one year they won to the Super Bowl. Then you could say they were because they represented the AFC in the Super Bowl, but that's ancient history in NFL years, right? Like, the NFL years are like dog years. That's 21 years ago in NFL years when they represented the AFC in the Super Bowl, and the league changes fast, and if you're not constantly evolving and getting better, you're getting worse. What have the Bengals done to get better? They're not good on defense right now. Everybody loved that Lou Lamoriello or whoever their defensive coordinator. Yeah, I think that's who it was. Yeah, or Lou Ferrigno or whoever their defensive coordinator was.
Almost hit that guy on a golf course.
Ferrigno?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Might as well have been.
Oh, it wasn't really him, though?
Like, it looked like him.
Oh, we had him in studio years ago. It was awesome.
I didn't know who he was. I hit him with a 3-wood from about 240 yards.
Was it really Lou Ferrigno?
It looked just like him, man. All I heard was a scream.
Did he turn into the Hulk and come after you?
Took his shirt off and showed me where the ball hit him.
Oh.
I mean, it was scary.
Did you yell four?
I did.
Well, then it's not your fault. You yelled four at San Lu.
And it went right around. It was a drum farm. Hole eight, for those of you that know that hole, there's like a little mossy area. One of their golfers was on the green. I saw a golf cart go down, thought they were cleared, hit a nice little like draw, which is right to left for a righty golfer. And all of a sudden, I just heard the F word at the top of someone's lungs. And then I saw the golf cart come our way. And I was looking at my buddy Mike. And I said, grab your golf club and hold on tight. Because I didn't know what was
going to happen. So what happened?
He came all the way up, got in my face, and was like, you hit me. You fucking hit me. It fucking hurts. And he's like, have you ever been hit by a golf ball? And I was like, no, I haven't. I'm very sorry. I'm terribly sorry. We let those guys play for about 20 more minutes before we hit our next shots.
Yeah, I bet you were a little shaken by that,
too. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then I put my next shot about 10 feet from the hole.
Yeah, well.
Missed the putt, made par.
But I mean, like, I can't. Like, did you see what happened with Joe Buck?
No.
On the golf course, he hit a ball and hit his wife, and she had to have surgery.
Oh, my. It was not a fun day for me. That's the only time I've ever hit somebody with the ball. I don't know how much it could have hurt. But it was, yeah, it was a high draw, about 235 yards right into the, I think it was like right in like the right peck.
Like you hit him in the air.
It had to, because it didn't bounce. All of a sudden, I saw the ball turn, and then all of a sudden, I heard a scream. And I was like, oh, no. And I saw the guy come up, and I'm like, oh, God, please tell me I hit the other guy. He was skinny. And this guy came out, just shirt off, veins everywhere, 5% body fat, 6'1".
Oh, no.
Probably could have played safety in the NFL.
Really?
I'm dead serious, dude.
Oh, God.
One of the scariest moments of my life. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
Back into the game.
Hey, what were we talking about?
Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincinnati changing over.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, and that defense with that Lou guy. Lou!
Yeah.
Like everybody talks about how great that defense was, but they haven't been able to stop the run in 2 years. Like, I think we fall into these traps as sports fans where mm-hmm. we think because of what happened tells you what's going to happen, and that's just not the case. Just because something was good doesn't mean it still is good.
Right.
And that's why the Chiefs are able to maintain this success. What are they, the fifth youngest roster in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly changing over their skill positions and getting better, and that bottom third of the roster is constantly getting younger and better and faster and stronger. And the Cincinnati Bengals basically stayed the course, and they didn't bring in young guys. They didn't bring in new guys. They lost players, and they haven't gotten better. They're
right.
A stale team right now in mm-hmm. this league.
Then there's also this kind of conversation.
Damn, I don't even know how to call that. I don't like them. You know, I don't think I like a lot of teams, but, you know, we see them a lot. We see them a lot, and it didn't turn out the way we wanted to our last time. So, yeah, of course, you know, like you said, some guys think about it. I'm not thinking about it, but, yeah, playing those guys is always exciting, man. The competition, the guys on their side they have are good, but we have guys on the side that are just as good. So, yeah, it's a good time.
A lot of talking in this game?
Hell yeah. I don't shut up. Man, a lot. Yeah, a lot. We'll see when we get there, you know.
Do you enjoy that kind of thing?
I don't care. I don't give a damn.
He doesn't shut up, and neither does Cam.
What does Xavier Worthy bring to this KC offense that you guys need to be prepared for?
That's about it. He can run straight. Run jet sweeps and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it. Feel like you put your hands on him. He's only 100-some pounds. So if you put hands on him, you'll stop the speed. So basically get hands on him.
But that's easier said than done. Have you ever seen anybody in his entire career get hands on Xavier Worthy?
No, but I've heard what Mitch Holtis had to say about that comment.
And I know Taylor Britt, Nebraska Cornhusker, he also was a little bit yickety-yak this week, too,
yep.
Right? Talking about, he's talking about Worthy? Like, I guess he's a fast guy.
Right, yeah, all he has is speed, is what he said, yeah.
And he can run in a straight line.
I don't know what Ramondre Stevenson has of the New England Patriots, but he was running over Taylor Britt, who wasn't really anxious to tackle him.
Right.
Now, Trent McDuffie's not that guy.
And this is who Trent McDuffie is.
You hear Trent McDuffie doing any chatter, any needless chatter?
No, he does it with his gameplay.
No. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what it is. That's all they are. They're a bunch of slap Richards over there in Cincinnati. There you go, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's that's who they are, man. That's, to me, when we get down to it and we get to end this weekly show of a matchup of Cincinnati as we gear up, that's all Cincinnati has is back talk, smack talk, and no action when it comes to the field. And that's why I think we're all on the same page that when you live up to that sort of expectation of being the bully on the field or being the smack talker Skywalker that you want to try to be, you got to have something to back that up. And if you lose a third straight and you know you're about to lose a third straight, then you know for a fact you're going to get frustrated. We've all been there, whether it's competitive sports, whether it's competitive in anything, a competition at work, however it may be.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody is consistently beating you, you get frustrated because you cannot beat them, and your actions then describe what you are as a person. And when we watch Ja'Marr Chase get frustrated and start pushing the chest and start doing these types of things, there's not a guy like L'Jarius Sneed on this team this year that's going to do it back or try to. What's going to happen is Trent McDuffie's just going to walk away and smile in your face.
Yeah, and that's the best part. Yeah, that's the best part about it, too. They're going to frustrate Ja'Marr Chase to that point where they're not going to have to say anything, and Trent McDuffie's just going to flash that beautiful smile at him, and he's going to melt down. And I think we probably will see Ja'Marr Chase melt down, because if you take them out of their game early, you frustrate them early, you know he's going to go to the sidelines. He's going to take his helmet off. He's going to slam it into the ground. There's going to be, you know, a confrontation with the quarterback or the head coach or something like that's going to happen on the sidelines. You got to get to him early. You got to frustrate Ja'Marr Chase early. He's the key to this whole thing. Frustrating him, getting him to melt down and act like a toddler who doesn't have their, you know, their puffy snacks or whatever it is. That's what we need to get Ja'Marr Chase doing. Acting like that 2-year-old out there on the field. And you can get him to act like that. He's expelling all of his energy on acting the fool and not playing the game. Chiefs win.
I just don't think Cincinnati knows they can win this game. I don't think they believe they can win this game. So I think where they're trying to win the game is to get in the mental side of things.
It's like boxing, right? It's like that pre-box, you know, that press conference where they always get up there and they smack talk and whatnot, that kind of stuff. One guy buys in, the other doesn't. Cincinnati's buying into the smack talk. The Chiefs are like, who are we playing this week?
913-586-7965. This is where we bring the text line and the life to you. We want you to be a part of the show as well. We have a question on the other side. I'll give it to you before we go there. What is your best life hack? Your best life hack. Cincinnati's is admitting that they're not a good football team. I guess that's a hack. What is your best life hack? 913-586-7965. This is Fesco and Dusty, and you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Into the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll get into the roundtable. Damn, glad to have you on a Friday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Nathan with you as well. We're almost there, boys. We're almost to the weekend.
We're getting there. Dusty and I just kind of talking about our weekend plans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he asked, what are you doing? I said, I just found out from my wife we're free this weekend or tonight anyway. And I know we got invited to a tailgate over at St. Thomas Aquinas. And so we may swing by that for a little bit. But if they're at a high school game, Dusty, from like 7 to 9 tonight, you know what that means, right? Naked Tuesday comes to a Friday.
Mm. Gotta love that. I always root for people's success in the bedroom. It's a random thing to say out loud, but I do. I wish you all the best this weekend. Shannon Sharp.
Thank you.
You know?
You mean me or everybody?
Are you going to go IG Live?
No.
Okay.
No.
Make Shannon Sharp proud this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, yes. I have no issue with, like, express like we always tell my kids, right? They kind of just roll their eyes like, you and mom always are like, you should be lucky that your mom and I like each other and love each other this late in our marriage. Like 100%. Most of your friends probably don't, you know. Yeah. Look at you and they're like 100% agree. Like that's a good thing that your mom and I love each other still, you know? You should be proud.
Do you have to love someone to
No.
Okay.
No, I that's why I say like.
Yeah.
I say like more than love, because love is one thing, but
love is blind.
It is. And then you come home early from the West Coast and
you see your wife. Half the neighborhood.
Yeah. I'm glad you get that, because so many years people never got that. Like, I say love is blind. And then you take the early flight home and almost
Julia Lewis, man.
Yeah.
I always thought she was hot.
Really?
I did. The very end when she meets Frank at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, looking fit.
I love that movie.
Back, baby.
I wanted to be that movie for a very long time.
Great movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
I thought it was great that Mitch Holtis referenced Step Brothers in our interview.
Right,
I was like, whoa, Mitch
knows what he's saying. Mitch is on board with things.
We asked you on the other side of the break what your best life hack is, because Bob was texting me last night. You can give people the background story.
So a friend of ours is in the tree cutting business, and we were at the California Trail 8th grade football game. Shout out California Trail. Rolled over Santa Fe Trail yesterday, 31-0. I think it was. It was at least that's kind of the score before the clock started running. So shout out to them and that team over there. And so I'm over there watching my daughter cheerlead, and you know, one of our friends' moms is sitting behind us, and we're talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject, and she goes, you know, I keep a stick of butter in my shower.
Is that all? That's all. That's how we get it?
I said, excuse me? Oh, yeah. We keep a stick of butter in our shower, and my husband uses it to get the tree sap out of his hair.
Oh.
I'm like, I did not know that a stick of butter was used to get tree sap out of your hair.
So I also didn't think the stick of butter was for the hair.
Right, I didn't either.
Or she's speaking in complete euphemisms across the board.
Right.
About the tree sap.
Yeah, exactly. So she's telling me about, like, I'm like,
saps
so,
in her hair.
So immediately you hear, if somebody comes up to you and you're having a conversation, they go, we keep a stick of butter in our shower. Well, immediately you've got questions.
No,
right?
I'm immediately walking away.
No, you
I'm out of beer. I'll be right back.
Yeah, it was eighth grade. It was, you know, 3 p.m. But like,
that's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't care.
Yeah, soccer 8:45 tomorrow night. There will be something in that thermos cup.
No doubt.
But so I was like, okay, I've got a lot of follow ups here. My first one was like, how does the butter not melt when you're taking a shower? Right, the water's hot, it's steamy. Oh, we don't take that hot of showers. I was told. I was like, even still, like, how long do you think a stick of butter is going to last in a shower? It can't last that long, right?
I'm just confused at all this.
So she goes, no, it's like it takes the tree sap out of your hair. I'm like, all right, that's a great life hack. So I'm texting Dusty. I'm like, what's your best life hack? Mm-hmm. And so I think everybody has a life hack, you know, that they want to share and use. I'm going to give you a money-saving hack right now. Have you downloaded the Capital One shopping app on your phone?
Mm-mm.
Make sure you do that. First of all, never pay full price. Only shop online when there's great sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then download the Capital One shopping app. Do your online, like if you're shopping for clothes or whatever it is, online through this Capital One shopping app, because they will go through and check every discount code that's possibly available out there for you, and you save money. It's great. It happens all the time. They try like all these discount codes. And most of the time, you save a couple of bucks by doing that. So that's my tip to you. That's my life hack. Get the Capital One shopping app before you buy anything online.
913-586-7965. What is your ultimate life hack? I have two. One I just recently discovered. The other one I discovered during COVID.
Okay.
So during COVID, I was working at Jack Stack and, you know, kind of just figuring things out, how the life had changed. And I remember my boss at the time was like, if you need anything, just take it. Probably have to burn the whole thing down. I have to get rid of everything. And there was a bottle of wine that I always wanted to try. And it was not an expensive bottle. It was just Meiomi Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
Good little juice. But it was a cork. And at my house,
that's a pain in the ass bottle to open.
Right,
too.
It's a thick boy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I didn't.
And not worth it for the wine. I'll be honest with you. There's too much struggle for that wine, but that's just me.
Anyways, I mean, it's decent. And so I was like, man, I don't have a wine opener at home. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, how do I get this open? And I had seen some people say you could, like, put it on a stud on your wall and, like, lightly tap the bottom of the bottle, and the pressure will cause the cork to slowly come out.
I bust the bottle.
So at that point, I'm like, well, I'm not doing that because people are going to think that there's, like, something happening down here. And then I found out that it's really easy to put a nail in there and then use the back end of the hammer to pull the cork out. I know that might be obvious to some, right, but it works like a charm.
Look at you, though. I mean, highfalutin. We're not drinking your wine out of a box like the rest of us.
Right. The other thing is, the hack that I discovered is that when you go to the DMV,
oh God,
you don't have to go and wait anymore.
Yeah.
So a buddy of mine reaches out to me because I had tweeted or said something about how the DMV line is still the same and it always will be, a tale of old time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know what you got to do is schedule your appointment online and you can just walk in. And I've never felt more of like a heel in my entire life because I had to get my tags renewed. And I got the little code. I scanned the QR code. I went to the internet and I got on the Lee Summit DMV. And I was like, I would like an appointment for Wednesday at 4 for tag changing or whatever, replacement of tags. Went in there the next day, 4 o'clock, went up to the lady. It said, arrived 10 minutes for your thing. So I got there at 3:50. I said, yep, I have an appointment. She goes, oh. And it was like devastating to her. She goes, what time? What's the name? I said, Dustin Likens at 4 o'clock. And she goes, see that green cone? Take it up and sit in that chair and you'll be.
She made you sit on a cone?
No, I wouldn't do that. I didn't have any butter. And so I had to take the cone, move it to another chair, sat down, and they said, next appointment. And like three people stood up and I just walked my happy ass right to the lady, sat down. Within 5 minutes, I had new tags.
Out the door.
I was gone.
Nice.
I was gone, man. And it was the greatest feeling in the world. And I will never, I still have the stub in my dresser tucked away with important documents where I will bring that up every time I need an appointment at the DMV.
All right, DMV. Yeah, make an appointment. I like that.
And the entire crowd booed you on the way out.
They might as well have because everybody kind of gave me like, He just got here. And then you could hear other people like, I didn't know you could book appointments.
From the 816, renew your tags online. They mail them to you. That's what we do. We pay our tags online.
They wouldn't let you do that.
I
don't know what it was. I think it was because I was getting the 2-year. I don't know what that is. I just know they wouldn't let me do that. They said the only thing that I could do is I could reschedule an appointment, show up, and then the other one I could schedule an appointment for my license to be updated or a passport.
Okay.
Which I think I got to get a passport. I think mine expired. I'm going to go overseas this winter.
Do it.
Mm. All right, so we've had money-saving hacks and time-saving hacks. Mm-hmm. I got mental hacks, and I use this one whenever I'm doing anything that's, I don't know, scary. Meeting people, starting a new job, mm-hmm. whatever. Think of the dumbest person that you know, and someone just came to your mind. I understand mm-hmm. there's someone in my mind as well. Yep. They've done that thing, and they were totally fine. Mm. They were totally fine. When I realized that a couple of years ago, my life changed. I used to worry about everything, and now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get through this.
I like that. That's good. No, that's really good
advice.
The
dumbest person you know has done it. You'll be just fine. You'll figure it out.
Remember in school when you'd give a speech and they said, imagine everyone's standing there in their underwear?
Yes.
Why would that make you feel comfortable?
Because everybody else is in their underwear and you're not.
That made me feel weird.
That's what they used to say to us.
I just never understood that sort of like hack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go give your speech, just think that everybody's in their underwear and everything will be fine. I think I'm good.
Second one. This is a... We all should adopt this. Log off.
Oh,
delete
yeah.
the app. Get off of Twitter, especially the next couple of months. You'll feel freed.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah.
Just try it for a couple of days.
I was kicked off of Facebook in January of 2020 and Instagram because I got this message. They said, did you give access to this person? And
yes.
I clicked no, and that was it. It was wiped out. Like, I was like, all right. It was a week before the first Super Bowl.
Congratulations.
It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I have not been on Facebook or Instagram since January of 2020, and I know my life is better for it because I don't know that I would have survived COVID with social media.
From the 913, I'm 36. I set my clothes out each night before the next day. It sounds small, but it's a huge help for me.
Dude, I'm totally with you. My morning is so much better when I set out my clothes before I go to bed. And it doesn't happen often because I forget or whatever the case may be. But you're absolutely right about that. Setting your stuff out the night before, it just speeds up the entire process in the morning.
Somebody from the 816 says, keep your underwear on, Dusty. It's Friday. I ain't wearing any, Daddy. Coming up on the other side, we get into the Richer of the Week on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.